First Kings, in chapter 18, and our text for this morning, and possibly we'll be returning to this next week, Lord willing. First Kings 18 and verse 9. Elijah has just told Obadiah to go and tell King Ahab, Elijah is here. And we see what Obadiah's response was to that. Verse 9, and he said, what have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? In other words, Obadiah was afraid to go and tell Ahab, Elijah's here, because he felt Ahab would slay him. We cannot help but admire those whom we meet with when we go through the scriptures and go through the Word of God. Those who are faithful for the God that they served. We admire not only their faithfulness, but their fearlessness as they stood for God against his enemies. How often have we wished that we had the faith of a man like Abraham. Abraham, of whom it is written, Abraham believed God. How weak is our faith? And how often do we fail to believe God and wish all that we had the faith of Abraham? And who would not want to be and to enjoy the intimate fellowship that Moses had with God? God knew him, spoke to him, mouth to mouth, face to face. Can any one of us here say that we enjoy that intimacy with God that Moses experienced? And when we think of Joshua, we think of the bravery of Joshua, the bravery that he showed as he led his army against Jericho. God granted a marvelous victory. Have we not longed to be known for our faithfulness to God, like Samuel, or like David? Men who stood out from their fellow men because of their courage, their faithfulness and fearlessness to the God of heaven. Or have we not admired the courage and conviction of Daniel? Daniel, a man who purposed in his heart that he would not eat the king's meat. He purposed in his own heart. Didn't matter what others were doing. Daniel stood alone and purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself by eating the king's meat. If nobody else stood with him, Daniel was going to stand alone. Do we not admire a man like Daniel? When he was threatened with being cast into the den of lions, he remained steadfast and unmovable for God, in spite of the holy alliance that had been formed against him. As well as all these men, we come now to Elijah. Elijah. And surely we have great admiration for this prophet of the Lord, Elijah. If ever a man was brave, if ever a man was courageous, if ever a man was steadfast for his God, it was this man, Elijah. Knowing that he was a man subject to like passions as we are, man like ourselves. Yet perhaps we feel that we can never be the man that Elijah was. Indeed, we look at all these great men and women in the Bible who were faithful and courageous for the Lord, and we sort of feel that we fall short of each one of them and wish we were more like them. It's good to set our sights high and, of course, to be more like Christ himself. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, we read about Elijah and Obadiah. And as we look at these men, maybe we feel we're more like Obadiah than Elijah. Maybe we feel we can identify ourselves more with Obadiah than we can with this great man, Elijah. Obadiah met Elijah, but as we shall see, Obadiah was not an Elijah. Obadiah was not a Daniel. Obadiah was not a David. Obadiah was not a Joshua. Obadiah was just Obadiah. It's interesting to look at some of the commentators. And I have one individual in my library in particular, and he was really severe in his criticism of Obadiah. We'll be highlighting some of those criticisms of this gentleman. But I must confess, I could not agree with them at all. Obadiah certainly had his failures, but who hadn't? The greatest of men have failed. We think of Elijah himself. When he heard the threatenings of Jezebel, he ran away and wished he was dead. So this is an interesting study. This man, Obadiah, he was more fearful than fearless. Obadiah was more careful than courageous. He was a man who worried. Now, what one of us here today can say, I never worry? I think we all worry at some time or another. Obadiah was a worrier. Not a warrior, but a worrier. And when Elijah told Obadiah to go back to Ahab and tell him, Elijah is here, Obadiah worried. Because he says, if I go back and tell Ahab that Elijah is here, Ahab will kill me. And he worried. But my subject for this morning is, when we look at this man Obadiah, is there's no need to worry. That's our subject for this morning. There's no need to worry. Obadiah had no need to worry. I want us first of all to consider Obadiah the man and Elijah. Obadiah the man. There were two very different men that met that day on a certain road. But listen, God used both of them. God used Elijah and God used Obadiah. Whatever different commentators say about Obadiah, God used them. And maybe we see ourselves, as I've already said, more like Obadiah than Elijah. But listen, God can use us. God can use his Obadiahs of today. Which teaches us that no matter what we are or who we are, God can work in and through us. That's the encouraging thing. Regarding this man, Obadiah, let us see first of all his situation. His situation. We're told there in the opening verses, and it came to pass after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in the land. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Mark that. Obadiah was the governor, the ruler of the house of this wicked king Ahab. The Holy Spirit goes on to inform us. Look there in the verse 3, the words that are in parenthesis. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Alright? He was governor in the house of Ahab, and he was a man who feared the Lord greatly. Here we find a man who feared the Lord greatly, working in the house, yea, governor of the house of Ahab, and that devil woman Jezebel. What a cesspool of iniquity. That palace where Ahab and Jezebel lived, what a cesspool of iniquity that palace must have been. Two of them, worshippers of Baal, haters of God, the God of Israel, and haters of God's prophets. When we come across believers, we find believers in places where perhaps it's the last place we would expect to find them. Paul, Philippians 4, verse 22, spoke about the saints that are in Caesar's household. The saints in Caesar's household. Caesar, Nero Claudius Caesar, one of the most wicked men who ever lived. He hated Christians. He would capture believers. He would then place them on a pole at the side of a road that led up to his palace. He would tie Christians to those poles and then set them on fire and use the burning bodies of Christians to light up his driveway. That's who Nero Claudius Caesar was. And yet Paul sends greetings from the saints that are in Caesar's household. There you have saints working in Caesar's household. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 3, we read there about the women who followed the Lord Jesus as he ministered in many cities and towns and villages. They followed him, and they would prepare meals for the Savior. And we read there about Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward. And there's Joanna's husband, was a steward in the house of Herod. And we see Joseph. Sure, we know where Joseph labored and worked in the position he had in the house of Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh who made him overseer in his house and over all that he had. Joseph was over all that Potiphar had. And you look at the life of Joseph. There's a similarity between Joseph and Daniel. You read the life of Joseph and you will discover that you never read about any sinful action on the part of Joseph. That doesn't mean he wasn't a sinner, he was. And the same about Daniel. You never read of any of the two of them committing any sinful action. And yet here we have Joseph in the house of Potiphar. And wasn't Daniel the chief president in the house of Darius? Daniel? And here we find Obadiah, governor over the house of Ahab. What does that teach us? It teaches us that wherever you may be laboring, you know the Lord, you're a child of God, and wherever you are and whatever place of employment you're in, God has put you there in His providence. You're there for a reason. And we will see how God had placed Obadiah in the house of Ahab, and we'll see it by and by, he was there for a reason. Oh, he might have been a warrior. He might have been a man who was afraid of Ahab when Elijah told him to go and tell Ahab, Elijah is here. But the Lord used him. And it tells us, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, or where we are, whether we're surrounded by the ungodly, and you work in a place where there are those around you who know not the Lord, listen, the Lord can use you there. Because in God's providence, He's put you there. What did the Lord Jesus say? The Lord said, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Over the years when I worked in secular employment before I was saved, I remember one particular factory I worked in. There was a gentleman there, and I didn't know till some time later he was a Christian, but I never would have known him because he never said a word. He never witnessed. He never spoke about the Lord. He hid his light under a bushel. The Lord said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's your light shine. Well, Obadiah, he did. He let his light shine. As we will see in a moment. As well as his situation, governed in the house of Ahab, we notice also his spirituality. His situation, his spirituality. We read in verse 3, and Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of the house of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. There's a spirituality. When did they notice something? This was God's testimony of Obadiah. Notice the words are in parenthesis. These words were not spoken by any man. This was the Holy Spirit who's the author of the book. This is what the Holy Spirit said about Obadiah. He said, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. That's what the Holy Ghost, as I say, the author of this book, said about Obadiah. He feared the Lord greatly. So, he was a spiritual man. The words, as I say, did not come from the lips of a mere man. But this is what God said about Obadiah. Here we meet with a man who feared the Lord greatly, living in a land, listen, living in a land that was sold out to the worship of Baal. Israel had become Baal worshippers, false god. And yet here we have a man who feared the Lord greatly, living in that environment, serving in the house of Ahab, a wicked king. God said he feared the Lord greatly. You look at the name, Obadiah. We know what Bible names mean something. And parents would give their children names that said something about them. Obadiah means servant of Jehovah. Servant of Jehovah. Think about that. In a land that was given over to Baal worship. And here we have parents who, when their son was born, they decided to call him Obadiah, servant of Jehovah, not servant of Baal. Had they given him a name that meant servant of Baal, nobody would raise an eyebrow. Because that's the environment that the child had been born into. But no, the parents named him servant of Jehovah. Jehovah, the name in Israel at that time, it was held in contempt. And yet the parents of Obadiah gave him this name, the servant of Jehovah. I do not think that unbelieving parents would have given their son a name which means servant of Jehovah, especially in the land that was so light to Baal. So they called their son Obadiah with the prayer, maybe with the prayer that their son would grow up to be a servant of Jehovah. And you know something, if that's what their prayer was, their prayer was answered. For he did serve Jehovah where the Lord had placed him. And it would appear that his parents also had been very diligent in teaching their son and bringing him up in the things of the Lord. This is quite wonderful. When you think of what was going on around this child as he was born into the world. Idols everywhere. Baal worshipped everywhere. And yet here we have a child, his name being servant of Jehovah. And we also discover his parents must have taught him well as a child. You look over verse 12. Here's Obadiah, and he's addressing Elijah. Look at the end of verse 12. If I go and what Obadiah is saying, if I go and tell Ahab Elijah's here, and then he comes and you're not here, he'll kill me. But Obadiah says, I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. For I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. And so Obadiah feared the Lord from his youth, from his earliest days, he feared the Lord. That tells me he had come to a knowledge of Jehovah early in his life. And surely that tells us something about his parents. They had taught him and instructed him in the things of God relating to the Lord God Jehovah. Nothing to do with Baal. And here is Obadiah, who served the Lord from his youth, feared the Lord from his youth. Amazing that such, in such an ungodly environment, how the grace of God prevailed in this young man's life. How did Solomon tell us, train up a child in the way he should go, but when he is old, he will not depart from it. You can see, I believe, Obadiah was well grounded in the things pertaining to the Lord God Jehovah. Because here he is. You think of his surroundings. You think of him being in the house of Ahab and Jezebel. Two wicked, ungodly individuals, servants of the devil. And yet there's Obadiah, and we're told he feared the Lord greatly. So he wasn't influenced by what was going on in the palace, and he wasn't influenced by what was going on in the world around him, in the land around him. He still feared the Lord. He didn't follow the ways of Baal worshippers. He didn't follow the world, if you like. I think Obadiah needs to be commended for that. That's why I totally disagree with those couple of commentators who are very critical of Obadiah. Here he is, a man who feared the Lord from his youth. He wasn't influenced by the ungodliness of the Baal worshippers and what was going on around him. Listen, and neither should we. Doesn't matter who you talk to. Certainly amongst believers, you wonder, can this world get any worse than what it is right now? The wickedness, the vileness, the corruption that's in the world today. And Dory and I were just talking the other day, what's the world going to be like for the likes of Abilene and our grandchildren, Calvin and Rachel and all our grandchildren? What's it going to be like in 10 years' time when it's so bad now, so awfully bad now? Let us not be influenced by what's going on in the world. I think of the words of John, 1 John 4 and verse 3. John says, the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Boy, isn't that true. The spirit of Antichrist is in the world now. Antichrist. And what goes on in the world today is against Christ. It is Antichrist. That's what's in the world today. So that is by God's grace. Live lives that are separated unto the Lord, separated unto the Savior, separated from the world. As I said, we may not feel ourselves to be an Elijah. But here's Obadiah. And we could say, I would like to be an Obadiah. Feared the Lord greatly. You think of where he worked and what was going on around him. He still feared the Lord greatly. And again, that's not the words of any mere man. That's the Holy Ghost said that. He feared the Lord greatly. Let us, believer, wherever we are, whatever our circumstances, whatever our surroundings may be, and we're all in this world, let us not be off the world. Let us all be servants of Jehovah, as Obadiah was. We've considered thus far his situation and his spirituality. Let us now look at his service. Now we see why God, in his providence, had Obadiah in the house of Ahab. Verse 4, again we read, and it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. There's his service. Reminding ourselves once again that this is what God said about Obadiah. This is what the Holy Spirit, the author of the Bible, said about Obadiah. He feared the Lord greatly, and he saved 100 of the Lord's prophets. I think he deserves a medal for that. And since these words are in parenthesis, and as I say, they are the words of the Lord, and we read what we've just read there in verse 4, that tells us the Lord sees everything that we do. Whatever service we render unto the Lord, it may not be out before the eyes of man. It may be done behind the scenes, and you do it for the Lord, and you do it in his name. You say to yourself, I'll do it all for Jesus. I'll do it all for Jesus. He's done so much for me. And nobody sees it, but God sees it. God saw what Obadiah had done in the house of Ahab. God saw, and here the Lord records it, that he saved 100 of the Lord's prophets. His service. You look at his service, we have to admire first of all his courage. Well, then we read in the verse 4, and it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord. What a wicked woman that was, a real devil woman. Cut off the prophets of the Lord. Didn't want them to be spreading the word of Jehovah or about Jehovah. So she cut them off. She slew them. And the fact that Obadiah saved 100 of them surely speaks to us of his courage. Knowing the threat of Jezebel, the threat of Ahab, yet he saved 100 of the Lord's servants. He showed great courage. As I said before, he may not have been an Elijah, but he was an Obadiah. He was a servant of Jehovah. And here, he shows courage. Here we have a flash of his courage when he saved 100 of God's prophets. Obadiah, as I said, may not have been a Joshua or a David or a Daniel or even an Elijah, but I tell you, he showed great courage in saving these prophets. You think of it. What would Jezebel have done to Obadiah had she found out what he did in saving 100 of the prophets that she had set her heart on slaying? No doubt Obadiah risked his life. And believer, perhaps you and I, we may not be an Elijah or a Daniel or a Joshua, but surely through our lives we show flashes of courage. Sometime or another, for a short time even, we're asked to take a stand for the Lord, and by the grace of God we do that. We show flashes of courage, as Obadiah here did. This shows us that wherever the Lord has placed us, whatever the environment, whatever our circumstances, listen, we said at the opening, in our opening remarks, wherever we are, the Lord can use us. He can. As he used Obadiah, and we can accomplish things for God. That person, or persons, that you see every day at work, the Lord could use you to speak to them about the Lord and win them savingly for Christ. Now, you may not save 100 through your neighbors. See 100 workers saved. But wouldn't it be worth it if you saw one worker saved? You know, I often repeat the words of Sandra Rutherford. And that hymn of Anne Ross Cousins, there's one verse, part of it reads that what one soul from Anworth, where Rutherford served the Lord in Scotland, if one soul from Anworth should meet me at God's right hand, my heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land. In other words, Rutherford was saying, if I had the joy of leading one soul to Christ, my heaven will be two heavens. For I'll see that person I led to Christ, I'll see them in glory, and my heaven will be two heavens. Rutherford led many more to the Lord. But you know what he was expressing. If one soul from Antwerp should meet me at God's right hand, my heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land. So, dear believer, take heart. Take heart. And take to heart what Moses said to the children of Israel. Be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And so there, wherever you work, here we have the promise of Jehovah. He'll go with you. Fear not. Don't be afraid. The Lord certainly did not fail Obadiah. He saved 100 of the Lord's prophets, showed great courage and saving our lives. As well as his courage, I see also his care. He not only saved the prophets and showed great courage in doing so, but he cared for them. It wasn't a matter of Obadiah saving those 100 prophets, putting them in their cave and say, "You're on your own, boys. You need to look after yourselves now." Not at all. In great courage, he saved 100 of the prophets, and it says, he hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. He cared for them. If you like, he finished the job. He cared for them. What does this remind us of? Does it not remind us of the story of the Good Samaritan? Over there in Luke chapter 10, Luke 10 and verse 33, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was," that's the man who had been robbed and left half dead, "and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. That's what Obadiah did with the 100 prophets. He took care of them. Took care of them. "And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." That's exactly what Obadiah did. And that's why I feel that one particular commentator is a bit harsh with Obadiah. He has to be commended for what he did. And here he showed great courage and he saved 100 of the prophets. And he didn't just save them, he took care of them. Hid them in the cave and fed them with bread and water. If the action of Obadiah reminds us of the Good Samaritan, I think the actions of Obadiah reminds us of somebody else. The actions of Obadiah remind us of Christ. For what has the Lord Jesus done? He has saved us. And after he saved us, did he say to us, "You're on your own"? Praise the Lord. No, he didn't. However long you and I have been saved by the grace of God, I believe every believer in this house today could stand up and testify and say, "The Lord has taken care of me." There's not one day in my life that I could say, "The Lord has failed me." I would have to say, and each believer would have to say, "The Lord has cared for me every day, every hour, every minute." So what does that make Obadiah now? And what he did there, does it not make him a Christ-like man? Believer, you and I may never be an Elijah, or a Daniel, or a David, or a Joshua. But listen. If we endeavor to be like Christ, we have accomplished something by God's grace. To be like the Savior, that should be our aim and our goal. to be like Christ. So regarding his service, we have considered his courage, his care, and his cost. His cost. For we are told that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. There's his cost. The good Samaritan told the innkeeper, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come, I will repay thee. He cared for that man who had been beaten and robbed and stripped. He cared for him out of his own pocket. And here's Obadiah. He's been able to deliver 100 of the Lord's servants, 100 prophets. He hid them in the cave, and we're told he fed them and he watered them. And maybe he used his own bread and his own water. Because Ahab, you remember, had already sent Obadiah out to look for water. There hadn't been rain for over 3 years. And Ahab was on the war path for Elijah. There was a bounty on Elijah's head. And here's Elijah saying to Ahab, or saying to Obadiah, why did he go and tell Obadiah, or tell Ahab, Elijah is here? You can see why he was afraid. But here is Obadiah. He saved 100 of the Lord's prophets. He's hid them in a cave, and he's cared for them. And he has given them bread and water. Perhaps his own bread. And he sacrificed something of his own bread and his own water for these prophets. There's a lesson there. You may say, I'm not an Elijah or a Daniel or a David. What can I do? But you can do what Obadiah did. Obadiah supported the servants of the Lord. Obadiah supported them with his bread and his water. We can all do that. No, we may not be called to the mission field, but we can support the missionaries. We may not be called into a pulpit ministry, but we can support the preachers. We can support the servants of the Lord. That's what Obadiah did. He supported God's servants. And every child of God can support the servants of the Lord who are serving the Lord in the field, abroad, or at home. We have considered Obadiah, the man, and Elijah. We'll take up this study, Lord willing, next week. I want us to look at Obadiah and the meeting with Elijah. It's an interesting meeting. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts today. Let's bow in prayer. Our dear Lord, we bless thee for these men and women that we meet with in the scripture. And they have so much to teach us. We thank thee, Lord, for the lessons we've learned already from Obadiah. We know, Lord, he'll not stand, as it were, among the giants of faith. We don't find his name in Hebrews 11. But still he served the Lord. He may have been a weak vessel, He may have been a warrior. The Lord, as we'll see, there was no need for him to worry. Lord, write thy word upon our hearts. And all who are able to stay for the Lord's table, Lord, meet with us there. And bring the scenes of Calvary before us. And all who must leave, grant them today traveling mercy and blessing. Keep each one safe and well and healthy. In the dear Savior's name we pray. Amen.